Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people. Oh, man, it feels good to be back. It really does. Welcome to this Monday, May 24th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And yes, I am back in the saddle. Oh, boy. You know, I took a week off. I took a week off to go down to Florida for the first time since 2019. To visit my family. You know, my mom lives down there along with my stepdad and my littlest sister, Loriana. And I went down there for the first time since the pandemic hit. It was actually the first time I've been down there to see the fam since Christmas of 2019. So it was certainly an emotional moment for me, you know, knowing that my family, you know, we've been able to get through the pandemic and, we've been able to get through it relatively healthy, right? But to be back down there with them, you know, to see them in person, to give them hugs, we're all fully vaccinated, and just to have a good time out there, it was a little bit emotional for me, just for the simple fact everything that's going down, you know, this past year plus, due to COVID-19. So I took some time off to go see the fam. We had a great, great time. I got a chance to, to play a little golf out there with my stepdad. We also did a little boat tour out there in Fort Lauderdale, where we just kind of just sat in this boat. You know, it's amazing. You know, we went on this boat tour where you pay a little money and you have like a tour guide. Just your boat, though. You know, you have somebody driving the boat, and there's an expert tour guide, and, you know, it's his boat, and he just takes you all across the water, and he's just, you know, telling you about, you know, this side of the river or this side of the water and the historic implications of this area. And then you see all of the houses that are lined around the water. And I mean, we're talking mansions, folks. And we're just sitting there, just, you know, me and the fam just sitting there, just uber jealous of all of these multi-million dollar homes. Like, for instance, you know, we're sitting there on this tour and you know, to our right is the home of the parents of Tom Cruise, movie superstar. And this house is just humongous. And then we go down a little further. And, you know, he says, hey, look to your left. That is the house of Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey when they were together. Now the house, I believe, just you know, belongs to Nick Cannon. But, you know, then you see this house and it's got glass all around with this modern looking black and white house. Just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And then we go further up the river and he says, oh, that's the CEO of this company. And that's the CEO of that company. And then that's the CEO of this apparel company over here. I mean, it's just mind-boggling the amount of money that we saw while on that boat tour right off the water. It just blows your mind. And then you just see these huge yachts. I mean, these yachts are mansions on the water. They really are. I mean, you guys have seen those, I'm sure, on television, or maybe you even had the pleasure to be on one. I don't know if you got a famous friend or something like that, right? Or a company party that's been thrown on a yacht before. I personally have never been on a yacht, but looking at those yachts from the outside, oh my goodness. I mean, you could fit like three homes, the size of three homes in Lansing on one yacht, on some of those things. I mean, it just blew my mind. So, you know, that was certainly a highlight of the trip, along with playing golf as well. And just spending time with the fam, man. You know, we had a great, great time. You know, they were nice where we just would sit in the house and just watch sports as well. And we definitely did a lot of that. And look, we got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports, folks. I'm so excited to be back in the saddle this week. And I'm so excited, you know, to be back in the saddle specifically on this day, because there was so much that went down over the weekend, right? I mean, so much. I mean, you had the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We saw history made at the PGA Championship courtesy of Phil Mickelson, which you better believe I'm going to get to that. Just so much going on that I definitely want to touch upon. And unfortunately, there was a story that turned my stomach. And I'm going to just kind of go through the details and give you my reaction to it. But a former Michigan State point guard is back in trouble with the law. And the details are very unnerving. And I just really want to comment on how this has come about in this young man's life, and whether or not, you know, there is any hope for him moving forward. So I'll get to that story. You know, I have to touch upon it because it was one of the biggest stories of the weekend. And, you know, it just took a lot of people by surprise. I mean, you have many former Michigan State players reacting to this story, and you know, they just couldn't believe it. They just really couldn't believe it. Just like much of the Michigan State community couldn't believe it. All right. So I'm going to get to that. But as you see, just a lot to get to, folks, a lot I want to touch upon, and you can all weigh on it as well. You guys know that you can call in and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call and leave that voicemail at. But hey, folks, we've got Current Sports quick hit headliners coming your way right now. All right, I want to start here. Lansing Common Football Club is in full swing right now, folks. The season is underway, and LCFC nearly rallied to earn a draw, scoring twice and then missing a few decent chances in the final minutes as it lost its first regular season game 3-2 at Lansing Eastern High School against the West Michigan Bearings on Saturday. Now, this was the first Midwest Premier League Conference game of the season. Lansing's comeback started, though, in the 62nd minute when Kyle Scott, who scored the first goal in club history last weekend, how about that, in a 3-1 friendly win over Fort Wayne Sport Club, continued his run toward the goal from right back and slotted home a shot to make it 3-1. But again, they will fall just short 3-2 at Eastern High School. And now Lansing Common will next play this Friday night at 8 p.m. against Inter Detroit. And that will be a road matchup. But pretty cool that this new football squad in Lansing Common now has its first regular season game, you know, notched. And they will continue Midwest Premier League play come this weekend, again on Friday night. But awesome stuff. Great to see football alive and well in Lansing. All right. Rocket Watts, folks. Rocket Watts, the now former Michigan State point guard slash shooting guard. Let's just say shooting guard. All right. He was not a point guard. But Rocket Watts has found a landing pad from one MSU to another. The former Michigan State basketball guard announced that he will transfer to Mississippi State on his Instagram page on Saturday. That's nearly 2 months after entering the NCAA portal. The 6'2" Detroit native, he averaged 7.7 points in 22.6 minutes during his sophomore season, making just 33.6% from the field and 25% from three-point land. Watts shifted roles throughout the season, as I mentioned. You know, he went from playing that shooting guard role, which is really, that's his natural position, to trying to make the position, the transition, I should say, to point guard, averaging 2.7 assists and almost two turnovers in 28 games. He asked out of the position midway through the season, though Coach Tom Izzo continued to use him there, but with less frequency because, I mean, Michigan State just did not have a point guard whatsoever last season. But Rocket Watts, again, transferring now to Mississippi State University, where he hopes to have greater success. All right, the Michigan State women's golf season has now come to an end on Sunday. The third round of the NCAA championships at Greyhawk Golf Club out in Scottsdale, Arizona, found Michigan State coming just short. The Spartans needed to be in the top 15 at the conclusion of Sunday's round to move on to today. But Michigan State came up just one spot short, finishing 16th. Ah, oh, so close. Michigan State shot a 15 over par 303 on Sunday and wound up 34 over par and 898 over the three rounds. And throughout those three rounds, they shot 301, 294, and 303. So UCLA claimed the 15th and final spot to move on to today's round at 31 over par and 895. So just a three-shot difference there. The Spartans, which were making their 14th appearance in program history at the national championships, finished the highest of any of the three teams from the Big Ten. Stanford continued to lead the field following Sunday's round, ending the day 18 under par, 846, 20 strokes. Yes, folks, 20 strokes ahead of second place Duke. Stanford, a really good golf program. And you may recall that Stanford, of course, birthed the GOAT, Tiger Woods. So there you have that. All right, Michigan State baseball. More golf news in just a moment, though. Michigan State baseball boosted by Bailey Peterson's two home runs, scored a season high 14 runs while tying a season best 17 hits on the way to a 14-8 dub at Rutgers on Sunday afternoon at RU's Bainton Field. Now, with the win, the Spartans secured their second straight road series. Michigan State won Friday night's opener 12-1, and after Rutgers won Saturday's game 15-8, the Spartans erupted for that 14-8 victory for MSU yesterday to win the series after winning last weekend's series at Ohio State. Pretty awesome stuff. Shout out to Jake Boss and his squad. The Spartans improved to 17-24 overall, having won five of their last seven games, while the Scarlet Knights have now lost nine of the last 11 in sliding to 19-22. So a pretty good weekend for the Michigan State baseball program. All right, Michigan softball. Sunday started with Michigan softball losing its first try at advancing to the super regional round of the NCAA tournament. Two hit by the James Madison's all-everything pitcher, Gabby Plain, that led to a 2-0 loss for Michigan. And now the Huskies will head to Norman, Oklahoma to face number one overall Oklahoma in the best of three super regional beginning on Friday. The Wolverines now head back to Ann Arbor in a finish slightly reminiscent of that 2019 NCAA tournament stay. You know, two quick wins and then two brutal losses on the final day, and a long summer ahead dreaming of next year. So Michigan softball season coming to an end in the NCAA tournament. To the Detroit Tigers, the Cleveland Indians and the Detroit Tigers open up a series today at 7:10 p.m. at Comerica Park. Though the Tigers entered this game on a two-game skid, falling 2-1 against the Kansas City Royals in a weekend road set, they have been playing pretty well lately, I must admit, winning 9 of their last 13 games. Now, Spencer Turnbull has been pitching at a high level, recording 33 swinging strikes in his last two starts. So we'll see if he can keep up that magic. But the Tigers have been, I tell you what, during the stretch of baseball, they have surpassed my expectations, many expectations, I will say. So they currently sit 18-28, one game ahead of the Minnesota Twins for last place in the AL Central. All right. Okay, to the NHL and the NBA playoffs. I was about to say MLB playoffs. I still have baseball on my mind. My bad. We'll start with the NHL playoffs scoreboard from Sunday. In double overtime, we saw the Predators pull out a 4-3 win over the Hurricanes. And that series is now all knotted up at 2 games apiece in the first round. All first round matchups here. The Avalanche beat the Blues 5-2, and Colorado actually wins that series 4-0. The Avalanche making slight work of the Blues there, so a series sweep for them. Then also we have a finality in the Bruins and Capitals series, as the Bruins beat the Capitals 3-1 yesterday. Boston wins that series 4-1. And then this one also went into overtime, much like the Predators and Hurricanes did, even though they went to double overtime. But this one just went to overtime as the Jets of Winnipeg beat the Oilers 5-4. And Winnipeg leads that series 3-0. All right. And then in the NBA playoffs are off to a really, really good start. You guys know that I am a diehard NBA fan, so I pretty much watched all of these games, or at least a portion of all of these games yesterday. The Philadelphia 76ers over the Washington Wizards, 125-118. Philly leads that series 1-0. We saw the Phoenix Suns beat the defending NBA champion LA Lakers yesterday, a 9-point win for the Suns, 99-90, as Phoenix takes a 1-game series lead there. How about Trae Young coming up big in the clutch, putting his Hawks just over the top of the New York Knicks in a 107-105 dub there. Atlanta leads that series 1-0. And the Memphis Grizzlies in the late slate game beating number one seed in the West, the Utah Jazz, 112-109 the final there. Memphis leading that series 1-0. That was a very shocking game, and one that went really down to the wire. And, you know, I got to give a shout-out to all of the Spartans that we're seeing throughout the NBA playoffs. I mean, I'm going to go back to the play-in game because Draymond Green is no longer in the playoffs due to those two losses in the play-in tournament. But, you know, it was just really cool. It's been really cool to see, you know, Draymond, Xavier Tillman out there. I mean, and Tillman, man, he came up big for Memphis in that play-in game, didn't he? Just huge, huge, huge stuff there. And also, of course, Tillman is playing alongside Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jaren had a pretty good game yesterday. So awesome stuff to see, you know, these Spartans balling out in the association. That's gotta feel good, right, Spartan fans? And I'm pretty sure that Tom Izzo is loving that as well. All right. Okay, and last but certainly not least, and I'm gonna have more on this story later on this hour, but how about Phil Mickelson, huh? Phil Mickelson, lefty. He captured his sixth major And this one was by far the most surprising one Sunday at the PGA Championship, because at the age of 50, he became the oldest winner in the 161 years of major championship golf. The oldest golfer to win a major, Phil Mickelson, at the young age of 50. How about that? Mickelson closed with a 1-over-73 to win by two shots over Brooks Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen. Now, never mind that he had not won in more than 2 years or had not registered a top 20 in nearly 9 months. And, you know, last won a major. The last time he won a major was back in 2013 at the Open. And also, never mind that he was also ranked number 115th in the world. That's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Julius Boros, for 53 years, he held the distinction of golf's oldest major champion. He was 48 when he won the 1968 PGA Championship out in San Antonio. So now Phil eclipses that at the age of 50, and he gives a lot of guys on the tour who may be knocking on 50 or you know, was around the age of 50, maybe a little bit of hope, you know. And Mickelson, you know, I just love his personality. How can you not? I love, you know, how he interacts with fans. You know, I love how he's so charismatic and willing to joke with you. And I love the way he approaches the game of golf from a mental standpoint. And I'm gonna dive more into that later on this hour. And I want to dive into what he opened up about in terms of his diet and in terms of his preparation, you know, in each and every golf tournament, what he does. I mean, it truly is remarkable. And, you know, you just see how driven this dude is. I mean, I believe he's more driven now than he was when he first got on the tour back in the day, because let's be honest here. I mean, what a lot of people would say about Phil when he was young was that he didn't work hard. You know, he just had this natural talent, this natural ability, but he did not work hard. That was a point that was made in the HBO documentary Tiger that profiled the, you know, the rise, the fall, and the rise again of the career of the GOAT, Tiger Woods. And now Phil, it just seems like he is uber dedicated now more than ever, and more than at any point throughout his golf career, to go out there and try and win and give a good go at it every time he picks up a golf club. All right. So just amazing stuff. Congratulations to Phil. It was quite the scene in South Carolina, watching the gallery just go insane in the membrane for this dude. Brooks Koepka wasn't totally happy with it, though. I'll explain that later on this hour as well. But congratulations to Phil. Right now, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to hit our first break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about an unfortunate story that broke over the weekend concerning a former Michigan State basketball player. It just really just turns your stomach, especially for Spartan fans who are a fan of this young man and enjoy watching him throughout his Michigan State basketball career. His post-basketball career, though, has just been, it's been tough. All right. That and more, you are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back, beautiful people. Again, just great to be back in the saddle here on this Monday, May 24, 2021. I took a week off to go see the fam down in Florida. And boy, a lot that happened over the weekend in the world of sports. Again, Lefty, Phil Mickelson doing his thing. The NBA playoffs off to a great start. The NHL playoffs also off to a great start. But, you know, there was a story that I came across come Saturday night that had me do a double take and immediately turn up the television because I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I flew in from Florida, back from Florida on, oh boy, it was Friday. Yeah, that was Friday. And I spent some time in Detroit. I spent the weekend in Detroit, you know, with my beautiful 93-year-old grandmother, you know, giving her some company, man, which I love to do. And, you know, just spending time with her, just sitting back watching TV. Right. And she watches a lot of news. And on Saturday night, we had the local news on. And the news was talking about a story in which there was a shooting in Detroit. And that's just, unfortunately, that's a norm when watching the news in Detroit. You know, you hear about all of these shootings and killings in the D, which I hate. You know, I hate to discuss that when it comes to my city, but it's an unfortunate reality. And now I feel like I'm seeing it more, you know, I'm seeing it from a different lens, a closer lens now, I should say, because my stepfather's brother, he is now a Detroit police officer. And, you know, he is always telling us about these crazy stories that go down on the regular on the job. And he's told us some crazy stuff that you wouldn't believe, man. But anyway. That's the norm. When you turn on the news, you hear about these shootings, unfortunately. And, you know, a story came across that, you know, a man in his 60s, late 60s had been shot, mid to late 60s had been shot in Detroit. And they were searching for the gunman. So that story comes up on the newscast and I'm not paying too much attention to it. I think I was on my phone scrolling. And then all of a sudden, they came back to the story. Like right before the broadcast ended, I think it was the 10 o'clock news. Right before that broadcast ended, they doubled back and say, you know, we're now getting new information that police are in search for former Michigan State basketball player Keith Appling, who is now a suspect in the killing of this man. And that is when I popped my head up. I you know, I was on my phone scrolling, I think on Instagram or something. Then I popped my head up and I heard that. And I actually had to rewind it on the DVR and my heart just sunk, man. My heart just sunk. Because, you know, Keith is a player that I thought was getting his life back on track. From what I heard, Keith Appling was getting his life back on track and trying to become a better man, a better citizen of this world. But apparently he's got a lot of work to do. The details here. The Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office late Sunday confirmed that Clyde Edwards, 66 years old, was the victim of the fatal shooting. The shooting occurred around 7 p.m. Saturday evening. Appling was still being searched for on Sunday. And Detroit police officials warned that he is to be considered armed and dangerous. Now, a relative ran into Appling earlier Saturday near Finkel and Greenfield, which isn't far at all. I mean, my grandmother lives on Finkel and Biltmore. So this literally happened like blocks away from where I was over the weekend, west side of Detroit. And This is what the relative said. Quote, the relative said they talked and he told Mr. Appling he was going to another relative's house. And Mr. Appling told him he would follow him over there, the report said. This is coming from the Detroit News. Appling's relative went inside the house on the 132nd block of Whitcomb, leaving Appling and the 66-year-old victim outside. The relative said they heard multiple gunshots, so he went outside and he saw Mr. Appling standing there with a stupid look on his face. He stated Mr. Appling had a gun in his hand, so he grabbed his arm and they began to wrestle for the gun. He got the gun away from Mr. Appling, but was tripped, and Appling took off running. He went to put boots on so he could chase after him, but stopped because he observed the victim shot on the front lawn. After the shooting, the suspect fled in a newer model tan Buick Regal and described Appling as approximately 6'2", 200 pounds, with brown eyes and black hair. Another witness told police that she was inside her house when she heard 5 or 6 gunshots. She went outside and saw Mr. Appling standing in front of the home with a gun in his hand. That is, again, an article coming from the Detroit News quoting the police report of this incident in which a life was taken. I'm truly, you know, Keith was one of the first players that I covered when I started, you know, covering Michigan State basketball, and I got the chance to know him, you know, because, you know, he played at Michigan State from 2010 to 2014, and I graduated in May of 2012, you know, and then started working at Channel 6 right after I graduated, and then of course here at WKAR in April of 2013. So I was covering professionally, you know, his last 2 years as a Michigan State basketball player. And I got to know him, you know, he's actually one of my favorite players I covered on those teams, man, because he was just so honest. And so he was playful with the media as well. And I loved this game too, man. You know, Keith was a player who was just never scared. He was fearless. And if you needed a bucket, he could go out there and make some stuff happen, man. And I thought he had a great basketball future. If it wasn't the NBA, you know, he could possibly, you know, go the D-League route, the G-League now, right? Or play overseas. But when you look at Keith Appling, and if he did, in fact, kill this man, he's going to go to jail for a long time. We all know that. And I just can't help but think, you know, that there's going to be some kind of documentary made or some kind of in-depth story, you know, maybe on HBO's Real Sports one day about Keith Appling's demise. But Keith Appling's story right now, unfortunately, is the classic example of you can take him out the hood, but you can't take the hood out of him. Because if you ever want to get to a certain level in your life where you are productive and you're making your dreams come true, if you're from the hood, you have to cut off certain people, man. No longer can you hang out with those same cats you used to run the streets with back in the day. Because when you get out, especially for Keith, I mean, this dude played at one of the highest levels of basketball that you can play in this nation, Division I hoops. Not many people get to do that. And he was so effective. I mean, as a starter, a starting point guard, playing under Tom Izzo for this historic program that is Michigan State basketball, and you got a chance to go out there and make a lot of money playing a game, you have to cut off certain people. And look, I know it's hard. I know it's hard because, you know, you think you have a lot of homies from the D that you grew up with that have your best interests at heart. But look, as we've seen in countless other examples, a lot of those dudes just want to leech off you. They want to suck you dry. They're just around you because you got money and you got this bright future and they want to hang on and just be there with you. When in reality, they're hanging on is really just dragging you down. And if that individual doesn't change his mindset or wake up to that fact that he needs to get out of that environment, that he needs to separate himself from that environment, if he does not separate himself from that environment, you may end up with an example like this. No, not may. You will end up with an example like Keith Appling. Keith Appling has had multiple run-ins with law enforcement. He most recently pled guilty to a drug charge in October of last year. Police found heroin in his vehicle during a traffic stop in Macomb County. He was sentenced to 18 months probation in November, and a warrant was issued for a probation violation in February 16th. And before his sentencing, his attorney told the Macomb Daily that he believed that his client had learned his lesson and was ready to live a clean life. Joe Aroney said, quote, "He's a person who needs to cut ties with his past. It's time for him to grow up. He's still young. At a certain time, you have to grow up and face reality. I think he gets that now." Oh, apparently not. 4 years ago, 2017, Appling pled guilty to carrying a concealed weapon and resisting and obstructing a Detroit police officer during an unrelated traffic stop on Detroit's east side. In that case, he was ordered to serve a year in jail and 5 years probation. And as a part of that sentencing agreement, two other criminal cases were dismissed. And he had been charged in two other gun cases. You see how long this report is becoming? One in Detroit in June of 2016 and another in Dearborn. In the Dearborn case, Appling was charged with a felony and two misdemeanors in connection with a May 1st, 2016 incident at a Michigan Avenue nightclub after police found two guns in his vehicle. Man. And now this, in which a life has been taken from this earth. This seems to be right now the ultimate wake up call for Keith. And again, if he's found guilty here, he will go to jail for a long time. And I hope that again, if he's found guilty and Keith does go away, I hope that while he's away, staring at those four walls and thinking about what could have been, I hope that he finds a way, because how many times have we heard stories about those who go away to prison and ended up finding, you know, religion or, you know, finding a higher power, finding some kind of peace. Lessons learned the hard way, right? Through the four walls that are a prison cell. I hope he does find some peace, man, because this is just so unfortunate, man. Huh. Manny took to social media to voice their concern and heartbreak when it comes to Keith, who also was a 2010 Mr. Basketball winner. If you remember, he led Detroit Pershing to a state championship back in 09, right? Scored a state record 49 points in the title game, was named a McDonald's All-American after his senior season. Brandon Dawson, former teammate, he tweeted out on May 23rd, yesterday morning, early morning, lost for words, dang. Our good friend Anthony Iani, legit heartbroken and sick right now. We're going to have Anthony Iani on this week's Current Sports, and we will certainly be getting his reaction to that story and more, you know, and also has a book coming out and so on and so forth. But, you know, I really hope this is a lesson to a lot of young men out there, man, that if you want to be great and if you want to chase your dreams, especially if you're from the hood, man, you have to separate yourself from that lifestyle. No longer can you live that kind of lifestyle. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I have thoughts on Phil Mickelson becoming the oldest man to win a golf major. And I'll have weekend winners that highlights the NBA playoffs. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just wrapped up thoughts on the Keith Appling story. Former Michigan State guard who is now being sought after. It's a manhunt trying to find him. I don't believe they found him yet in relation to a fatal shooting of Clyde Edwards, 66 years old. It seems that Clyde is a family member of Keith's. Shooting that occurred around 7 p.m. on Saturday night. You just heard my thoughts on Keith, man, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned there. You know, especially for me, man, being from Detroit, you know, I have conversations, you know, about this topic a lot. The topic of when you are trying to do something, when you have a goal in mind and you're trying to accomplish something that puts you in a position that is greater than where you currently are, and you're living in the hood, you have to separate yourself from certain people, and you can't hang out at the same places. You can't talk to the same people. You can't do the same things you used to do if you want to get to that level, man. Me and my guys, man, we have conversations, you know, about that topic all the time. But I want to hear your thoughts on it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can call that number. Leave us a voicemail there, and I'll roll it in come Tuesday's Current Sports. You can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. But on a much lighter note here, I want to take us on home. With weekend winners, I want to highlight the NBA playoffs during that segment in just a moment. But before I get to that, I want to give a big shout out to probably the ultimate weekend winner, Phil Mickelson. What Lefty was able to do throughout those 4 days out in South Carolina was truly special. Again, 50 years old, the oldest winner in the 161 years of major championship golf. This dude continues to stun us. And, you know, what's amazing about Phil, and I sat back and we watched that final round, which was dramatic. Let's not get it twisted here. You know, Phil, you know, he had some trouble on the 11th, I remember, where he puts it, you know, to the left of the fairway, and you know, the crowd is huddled around him, and he has to make a, you know, a solid second shot there. He was able to rebound, and then he was able to, you know, he bogeyed. I forget what hole it was, but he bogeys, you know, a hole, and Brooks Koepka is still right there. It wasn't easy, man. I mean, on that par three bogey that he had later in that round, you know, he put the tee shot in the very thick rough, and thank goodness that he was able to see the ball enough to just get it out of there. And he breathed a big sigh of relief when he was able to get it out of there, and he was able to two putt from there. But my goodness, we're like, just Phil, just close this thing out, man. Just close it out. But it's remarkable. At 50 years of age, I mean, Phil hitting bombs off the tee. 300-plus yards off the tee. I mean, just unbelievable stuff. You know, and you know, for Phil, I really doubted whether or not Phil would – I didn't think that Phil would ever win another major. I didn't think that, you know, when we would see Phil playing in majors – I'm not going to lie. I saw him on Thursday. You know, they would flash to his highlights in the first round of the PGA Championship. I said, oh, look at Phil competing in another major. We're not really competing, just being out there. I said, oh, he won't. Yeah, I don't know if he'll make the cut. You know, we won't see Phil. You know, just like, all right, that's cool to see Phil out there playing. That's what I always say that to myself when I see Phil playing in a major championship. When I saw him flash on my TV, in round one of the PGA Championship last Thursday, I said, oh, cool to see Phil back out there. I always say that when I see him. And then, you know, when it flashed across my phone, because I missed the second round, when it flashed across my phone on Saturday that, you know, he was leading the pack or in the hunt, I said, oh, my goodness, are you kidding me? Then I saw the highlights and – wow. Wow. I mean, what can you say? He was so good with his irons. He had amazing speed with his putting. I mean, overall, he just putted unbelievable. I mean, that front nine on Sunday was amazing. You know, and he's going with that single blade putter that he has performed so well with, an old school single blade that's working for him. And his driving off the tee again. You know, he was interviewed yesterday and he said that I hit bombs. And that's why you got to love Phil as well, man. His personality. That's why you root for this guy. That's why you saw the gallery going crazy over him, chanting his name. You know, that craziness on the last hole where everybody's running behind him after he hits that remarkable 9-iron. To get him up on the green to two putt for the win. And he's walking from that second shot and people are, you know, it was one guy who grabbed him and security had to push him back. There's a reason why, you know, we saw that kind of atmosphere. Dare I say it, a Tiger-esque atmosphere for Phil Mickelson at the PGA Championship yesterday, because the dude is so darn likable. He's always willing to, you know, to sign an autograph, to take a picture, to kiss a baby. He's a man of the people. And I think Brooks Koepka, he told a story in which, you know, he was a young tyke and he tried to get Phil's autograph in the parking lot and Phil declined him. And Brooks went on to say that I'm probably the only kid that Phil has ever, you know, said no to when it comes to signing an autograph. And then that crowd was just crazy. You know what? Because of time, I'm running out of time here. On tomorrow's show, I want to talk about the PGA Championship's crowd, because that atmosphere was special. But it's also a catch-22, because Brooks Koepka said that, you know, the crowd injured his knee. So I'm going to dive into that tomorrow. And we'll just make Phil Mickelson our weekend winner. He deserves it, dude. And on tomorrow's show, I'm going to dive into the NBA playoffs. All right. And I'm going to dive into what we saw over the weekend and what we will continue to see as the playoffs roll along here. Gotta love it, man. This is one of my favorite times of the year, though, where you have golf majors going on. Then you got the NHL and the NBA playoffs taking place. And again, I'm not a big hockey guy, but I like watching from time to time some of the games leading up to the Stanley Cup. And when Stanley Cup comes, that's when I really lock in. But it's just awesome, man. It's an awesome time of the year for sports, and I'm really enjoying it. I know you are as well. But congrats to Phil Mickelson. We'll be back at it on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.